Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready? Cliff Central.
That is so scary. Michael Jackson, a place without a name. With no name. A place with a name, though. That's actually wrong. Jeffrey actually just said, how can Michael Jackson still release songs? Because he isn't with us anymore.
That was very weird. I can't understand.
Isn't that odd?
Bizarro. I'm gonna Google that now.
But that's quite a cool song. Na 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 na. Where's that from? What song is that from?
It should be a sample from. It must be like an 80s or 70s sample.
Who can tell us where is that from? Na 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 na. I can't believe I'm gnawing to start the show. You're with Helen Dubois. It's the Stan Katz experiment minus Stan and Katz and the experiment. Kate Normington's also off gallivanting. So you've got me today doing things slightly differently. I'm going to be chatting to a whole bunch of boys. Yes.
does that include me?
Including Helen? You. I'm surrounded by boys. There's not That's a girl cool. in sight. That's I'm going to cool. be chatting to the Bala brothers. I've got Zwai and Pelo in studio. They're doing this fantastic show, a live show, coming up in October at the Lyric Theatre. But this show is extra special because it's actually going to be aired on PBS stations in America. So that's quite a coup. Pretty awesome stuff. So Zwai and Pelo are going to be in with me in a little while, and we'll be chatting about that show. And I'm also going to be talking to Gil Ovet, who is one of the dragons. I would do a dragon sound, but I don't think I can. Can you do a dragon sound?
I can't. You did one this morning, though.
That's I don't know.
That's Dragon.
Dragon's Den SA is about to hit our screens, and that's starting on September the 23rd. So right now we welcome to Cliff Central, Gil Ovet. Hello, Gil.
Gil's not on
Oh, he's
on
not?
The, no. Not
oh, there. I thought he was.
No.
I'm looking at the thing counting down. Anyway, Gil's going to be with us very, very shortly, chatting about that. And have you seen Dragon's Den, Jeffrey?
The British, yeah, that's very cool.
The British version.
That's very
it's
cool.
It's kind of hectic, hey? You know, if you haven't seen it,
must
for
be
the
stressful.
Listeners who haven't seen the show,
yeah,
people come and they pitch their entrepreneurial ideas
yeah.
to a panel. Now, on this panel, there are a bunch of very successful businessmen and women or entrepreneurs themselves, and they decide if they're going to invest in the idea.
Mm. It must be very stressful.
I mean, so stressful.
I wouldn't be able to do that.
The thing is, I noticed with the British one, and I don't know if this was a tactical thing that they did, but the studio was actually upstairs.
Yes.
So that they had
in
to
this
kind of
weird building.
Yeah. Yeah, and they almost had to kind of run up the stairs before they did their pitch. So ultimately, they were kind of out of breath and huffing and puffing and trying to pitch their idea after running up all these stairs.
And it's a lot of money that get invested in these ideas. If you think about, I've seen episodes where it's £100,000, £200,000 investments on an idea, which is a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's crazy.
I just got a message from Nicolene Fisser, who said, hello, Helen and Jeff. Hello, Nicolene.
Hello.
She said that she's glad that I'm back. And shame, assault on Saturday. What? She had a Helen assault.
Yeah.
She was watching an advert for some Slim and Lift skinny jean leggings. And did I do the voice for it? Yes, I did. And then she saw the ad for Saving Rhinos. Yes, that's me. So you were assaulted. You were assaulted by me.
Yeah, that's pretty rough.
Thanks for tuning in, Nicolene. Right now, I'm going to welcome on the line. It is Gil Ovet. He is one of the dragons. Rah! Hello, Gil.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Yeah, fantastic. Loving this weather.
I know, right? But apparently there's a cold front coming, so don't get too excited.
It's just winter's last stand.
It's their last little, don't worry, I'll be back.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Gil, super, super excited about Dragon's Den SA coming to our screens on Mzansi Magic on Tuesday the 23rd of September. Let's talk about you, though. You are one of the dragons, and you've had quite a life, and you are a little bit of a serial entrepreneur. Tell us a little bit about your entrepreneurial start in life. Where did it all begin?
It's strange because I've spoken to so many entrepreneurs, and the truth is that many of them don't really start off thinking they're going to go into entrepreneurship. Mm. They it just happens, and they're kind of like find a passion, follow it, and then one day wake up and realize, oh, this is called entrepreneurship. Okay, I'm an entrepreneur.
Yes.
And that's kind of like what happened to me. I was on TV at the age of 15.
I remember that.
A youth magazine for many lifetimes ago. That's very, very bad that you
Yes, I'm showing my age. Let's move on.
But let's move on. and I quickly found out that I actually preferred being behind the scenes as opposed to in front of the cameras. And I just felt that that really is deciding what the story is going to look like.
Yes.
And almost be master of your destiny. And I guess a parallel between being a director is can be drawn to being an entrepreneur, because it's being master of your destiny and deciding, you know, what your vision is and trying to execute on that vision.
Yeah.
So when I left school, I started a TV production company with a partner called Vusi Twala, who's now known as Vusi Lion.
Yeah.
And we started a production company, and that was the beginning of the entrepreneurial days.
Amazing. And it's just all come on from great leaps and bounds from there as well. What are you doing right now?
Let me just clarify. So I'd love that to have been the story, but the reality is that there were many failures before the current success. So it wasn't all peachy. It never is.
Well, I think that creates character and it makes an entrepreneur keep going. I suppose you've got to have the failures and you've got to have the lessons to be able to find your niche and initiate your ideas going forward.
Yeah, well, I'm personally, as an investor, I'm very attracted to failed entrepreneurs. I know it sounds really strange, but even on the show, and not just me, but the other dragons kind of reacted the same way. As soon as an entrepreneur came down into the den and said that this is like the third time round, all of a sudden we all vied for to do a deal.
Yes,
so it's
kind
of strange. And I think
because you understand,
these entrepreneurs are like taken aback. Yeah, they're like, oh, wait a minute, I just admitted failure, and you're fighting to invest. and the truth is that third time round is promising. It means you know how to take defeat, pick yourself up, and start again.
But how do you know when to give up on an idea? Because I think that's also an interesting sort of character trait of entrepreneurs, is following through with an idea to the point where either it's going to be a success or you know it's time to drop that and move on to the next idea.
Oh, I mean, it's such a tough answer. And there's nothing worse than seeing entrepreneurs who throw more good money off the bad.
Yeah.
And it often is the case. And there are no rules. Just like in business, there are no rules. And I guess as you progress in your business career, one of the traits that you learn is the understanding of when it's time to stop flogging a dead horse
exactly.
And when to move on. And, you know, sometimes the best ideas just aren't executable.
Yeah.
And you need to know that, you know, roll with the punches, tomorrow's another day, pick yourself up. And start again. And it's not the worst thing to start again. And the truth is, people are embarrassed and, you know, they feel that they're failures. Bring it on.
Yes.
Move on.
Yeah, exactly.
Get up and go.
Yeah. Dust yourself off and carry on going. Yeah. And that, I mean, you're very successful with being the CEO of the Creative Council. What exactly do the Creative Council do?
Well, I mean, if I knew that, that would help a lot. So the official line is that we're a sales and marketing company that offer holistic services to clients across multiple categories. So everything from creative strategy, design, through to field marketing, activations, promotions. It's quite a broad group of companies that offer holistic solutions to clients.
Yeah.
And we're very proud to have like really big multinationals and large locals. Part of our client base, from Unilever to Vodacom to Nokia to LG, all the big boys, we're very proud to be representing them in one way or another.
Incredible. So now tell us, Gil, what can we expect on Dragon's Den South Africa?
Are
you nasty? Really, are any of the dragons really horrible?
So let me start off by first saying that there is a very strict format to Dragon's Den, right? And all over the world, the look and feel is the same. The set is very similar. the format, the style, the editing, everything is very similar. But what I've realized having shot some of the episodes is that whilst the fundamentals are the same, the one thing that is different between each country is the culturalisms.
Yes.
Okay, that come out, both from the entrepreneur's perspective and the Baggins perspective. So what's transpired is, I think if you look at some of the international shows, the guys are really tough. And they have no doubt we were tough as well.
Yeah.
But I think all the Dragons felt compelled to give back, to guide, to inspire, to mentor, and to give a lot of feedback. So I think what will probably come out of the show is that as harsh as we may sound sometimes, it's done from a good place.
Yes.
We're not there to destroy people.
Or embarrass them. Because I think they do. On the British ones, sometimes you get the sense that they have embarrassed them slightly.
Yes. So we didn't set out at all to embarrass, but we did set out to clarify what expectations there would be from an investor. So I don't think we suffered fools lightly. And if someone was taking a chance, we made sure he knew that we knew that he was taking a chance.
Yeah.
But I don't think we were setting out to destroy people's dreams either.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. Tell me a little bit about the other Dragons that are on the panel.
I mean, it was amazing because we are all such different personalities with such incredibly diverse backgrounds. And it was weird because other than Vusi, one of the Dragons,
Vusi Tembekwayo,
29-year-old.
Yeah.
Correct. He's the youngest JSE-listed director. He is the world's public speaking champion, the world's public speaking champion.
Yeah, somebody told me actually here at Cliff Central that he was talking in Las Vegas recently, and on the same night that he spoke, Celine Dion and David Copperfield were performing, and he sold out before they did.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. That's incredible, but I'm not surprised. I mean, he has shared the stage with the world's luminaries, and he's held his own. And seeing him in action just makes that so obvious.
Mm-mm.
But so other than Vusi, I didn't know any of the others. I'd heard of them, obviously, but I'd never met them. And each one of them has such a great story. So we've got Lebo, who is a township entrepreneur.
Gunguluza.
Legend.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And he's got an incredible, incredible story of success and sheer will, tenacity, and inventiveness. You have Lebo Radebe, who is one of the founding members of the BEE Charter. She's given so much to public policy and government and is now running a massive VC fund. And Vinnie Lingham, who has just, totally coincidentally, timing is amazing, just whilst we were shooting, he had sold his third startup, Gift, G-Y-F-T, Gift, for an undisclosed amount, but suspected to be between $50 and $100 million. And the guy lives in Silicon Valley, but he's homebred, very, very South African. And I mean, he one of his partners in this third venture of his was Ashton Kutcher. And he's like, yeah, Ashty and me. I'm like, don't call him Ashty. He's Ashton, okay?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Exactly. So each one of them has, you know, one is a tech genius. Another one is a township entrepreneur. Each one brought a different flavor.
Mm.
And it was weird because the dynamic, we almost instantaneously clicked. And on the first day, we kind of looked at each other when we were rehearsing and getting everything right. So we kind of looked at each other and said, listen, guys, let's agree to be respectful, but no holds barred.
Yeah.
And we say it like it is because we owe it to the viewers and owe it to ourselves. And our own money is on the line.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like we can take those kind of
It time. Is your own money. So, that's an interesting point.
Yeah. So you can't play around.
Yeah,
you can't play
sure.
around. So we kind of agreed on that basis. And as a result of that agreement, the dynamic was incredible because at times we would partner, at times we would fight each other. Sometimes we'd fight in front of the entrepreneur trying to get a deal over the next person. And like 2 minutes later, the deal would be over, the deal would be done with whomever, and we'd like be having a coffee and waiting for the next entrepreneur to come through.
Mm-mm. Well, it sounds fantastic. I can't wait for this to start. Gil, thank you so much for coming on the show this morning and sharing your entrepreneurial views, and I can't wait to see you all the Dragons Can you do the? I've been trying to make it sound like a dragon the whole morning, and I can't do it. Zwaibala's here. Maybe he can do it. I don't know.
And for that reason, I'm out.
And for that reason, I'm out. Yes.
Yeah. So I had to do that. We saw about 85 deals.
Yes.
And for most of them, obviously, I had to do that. So I've really enjoyed speaking to you, but right now
you can't do a dragon noise.
And I was about to do it.
So oh, good. Do it.
Ready for it.
Do it.
Yeah. So I'm setting it up. So here
okay.
we go.
Okay.
So, Helen, been great speaking to you on Cliff Central, but unfortunately, right now, I'm out.
Oh, Gil, thank you so much, mate. We'll catch you on the telly.
Cool.
Have a good day.
Great.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
That's Gil Ovid, one of the entrepreneurs on Dragon's Den, South Africa. It starts Tuesday, 23rd September, 7 p.m. on Mzansi Magic. Zwaibala has just stepped into the studio, looking very summery and chilled. We're going to take a breather, Goldfish, Moonwalk Away, and we'll be back chatting to Zwaibala about this fantastic show that's coming up at the Lyric Theatre at Gold Reef City. It's insane. Hi. Goldfish and Moonwalk Away. Very cool song, that. Love it.
Awesome. It's awesome.
Love it.
Local.
And local.
Yeah.
Local is lekker. And we've got local boy, or local man, gentleman, Zwaibala in the studio.
Oh,
welcome to Cliff Central, Zwai.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Good to have you here.
Yeah.
We were having a little chat now about that Michael Jackson song. I was asking Zwai if he'd heard it. It's called Place With No Name. And Cindy Mundo very, very kindly sent us a message on the WeChat. Cliff Central doo-doo.
WeChat.
Yes. To say it is a horse with no name. That's the sample that they did.
Okay, looking forward to hearing that, actually.
It's awesome, actually.
Because I've just fallen in love with the album. Oh, is it awesome?
It's awesome. Nah. And, and we've got Nick here as well, who apparently knows quite a lot about that song. So tell us, Nick.
How did it work, Nick? By the way, Nick is he's job shadowing here for this week.
Yeah.
So just tell us about that.
It was basically pre-recorded in 2000. Yeah. It was basically recorded, obviously, before his death. It was released...
not after.
No, not after.
Funny that.
It was basically released by Escape, which is a record label. It's called Love Never Felt So Good. And previously it was called Horse Never Felt...
Horse With No Name.
Yeah, Horse With No Name, yeah.
How do you, if you have a horse with no name, how do you tell them to go, like, to go faster? Because normally you would, like, whip them with a crop and go, come on, Licorice, or whatever the horse is. I used to have, don't laugh at me, I used to have a horse called Licorice, stop it. It was a black horse, he was very cool.
Yeah, apparently, it's said that Michael Jackson has actually sold more singles than after his death than before.
Than before,
yeah.
Sure.
Awesome.
Thanks, Nick. Hi, Nick. Welcome to Cliff Central.
Thank you very much.
Very cool to have you. And Zwai, thanks for coming in, man. Pelo is apparently not feeling well. Has he got that dreaded flu?
Yeah, he's just not
It's
well.
A nightmare.
Yeah. So.
But the reason I got you in is to talk about this. Well, I want to talk about you. I want to talk about the brothers, the family. But I want to also talk about this show that's coming up because it sounds fantastic. And it's going to be broadcast on television in America.
In all of America.
In all of America. How on earth did that come about? That somebody got in touch with you and said, we want to the Barlow Brothers to do a live show and we're going to film it and we're going to broadcast it.
Yeah, someone introduced us to a gentleman who was out in Amsterdam who's been producing PBS shows for the longest time.
Yeah.
So... and this guy took a liking into seeing, you know, that we did Empress live at Empress Palace a couple of years ago. So he really liked what he saw and he thought, this could be a success, you know. It
Incredible.
Could be a success. So he basically said he's willing to take the risk with us and approached PBS. And in next to no time, PBS was vice president was
Let's
down.
Do this
he was down here in South Africa.
Oh my gosh!
With this guy from Amsterdam and guy from Washington D.C. And Warner Music as well. They all came out just to see us. So we put up a showcase in Joburg somewhere.
Yeah.
Just a little showcase,
just for
the four guys. Yeah, wow. and then PBS upped their commitment. They like. We got
incredible.
To do this. Yeah, no, it's definitely anyone who knows PBS, they get very excited at the news. They're like, that's the best shot you can get.
But now you've been to America. You guys have done shows in America as well. What is your following like there?
Well, normally, even from the TKZ days, the following that you get is mostly from Southern Africans.
Yes, yeah.
You know, who want to introduce the music abroad. But I've always seen Bala Brothers belonging on Oprah, belonging on all these big stages. Because actually, we decided to form it after I saw Il Divo. And I was like, man, we can sing much better than these
guys. Yeah, exactly.
Let's actually go for it. That's what I want.
Well, the funny thing is, I think things like Il Divo and certain of these bands and groups that are put together by marketers.
You know, absolutely.
That it's a pure money-making thing. And yes, they're talented. And it's a sort of a formula that they use to put these people together. But you guys are blood.
Yeah, and so I thought the story is just so much better. I mean,
yeah, for sure.
Not only are we brothers, we sing part opera. And we're black from Africa. You know?
You're black? Oh, you are?
Yeah. If you look closely.
And the sound, that's the thing as well. I mean, your sound and your sort of style is very different.
Well, I think...
Popra, they called it Popra.
Well, yeah.
I read some article and they said Popra.
They say Popra. But I think we've done almost everything in music as individuals and, as producers and just, as music makers.
Yeah.
You know, we started off at church, of course, and it's gone off to choral and
Drakensberg Boys Choir.
We did gospel, jazz, kwaito, and everything in between.
Yeah, but I mean, what are your roots?
So it comes in through what we really did with Bala Brothers, that we used what we what we studied and were trained in, which was voice.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we applied onto what we do. But whenever we do a show, we vary what we do. So it does, you can be into music or you can be into classical music or not, but you'll really enjoy the show. By the end of the show, you'll be on your feet and dancing.
That's a promise.
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah.
But I mean, your background as well, you've got, you've done courses at Berklee, orchestration and arrangements and all that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
So you really are the full Monty.
I never want to leave anything
Up to anybody else.
Yeah, no.
You don't let anyone touch.
Yeah, no, it's like anything I don't know, I'm keen on learning. I've always been into music directing and arranging. So after I did a musical called Soweto Story, and won a NALA for it, my first musical that I actually wrote music for.
Amazing. And you
and I thought,
man,
I actually want to go into film. So then I went into film scoring. So, and of course, you know, working on Zambezia and Kumba and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's another direction that will always be there.
Are you, how do you sort of find the time to balance that, doing those kind of projects and the arranging side of things and your career? Because, I mean, you've got a solo career as well and the Bala Brothers.
Yeah, I think it's whatever. The nice, I like having different things to do, you know, when I get up every morning.
Yeah.
The one day is not like the other. So it depends what I have time for and obviously sometimes what pays more. You know, or sometimes I can take, I mean, with a lot of films coming out of South Africa, there isn't enough budget, there isn't, you know, and it's small productions. So I'll take that little job as me actually getting some practice.
Yes.
You know, because I want to be writing. You know, I need to get the practice. I need to actually be working and also meeting musicians and meeting new people and, you know, getting introduced to new things.
Incredible stuff. And now, between the brothers, Pelo, like we said, wasn't well and couldn't be here. Luisa, he's just so busy, isn't he? He's running around doing
always,
his thing.
Always.
How do you stop, get together, and work on your stuff? Because you, all three of you are artists in your own right and doing your own thing. Is it like on a weekend thing?
I think our wives have really gotten that.
Are they the ones who organize your calendars?
Yeah, they've really gotten the hang of it and know how to handle it.
Okay.
But I think working together has actually been a good thing, that we actually do see more of each other through work.
Yeah.
As opposed to, we'll do Sunday lunch, you know, because that's not possible, like, to always make it. Because especially as musicians, we're always busy on weekends or, you know, when people are chilling, we need to be there singing for our supper. So actually working together and actually being on the road together actually helps us spend time together.
And what is the dynamic between the three of you in as much as the Bala Brothers act? You've got the sort of orchestration, arranging and that kind of thing. How does it all come together?
I guess I'm the...
You're the boss.
They say I'm the speaker of the band and Luiso is the R&B crooner.
Yeah.
And Pelo is the sweet one that every woman wishes they were 21 again. So, you know, we handle it even in how we distribute melodies throughout the songs and how we set it up. We all know our places.
You know your place.
And how to.
And was it always like that in your house? I mean, I know that you were away and you all went to Drakensberg Boys Choir. Was it always like that? Was there always music in your life?
Oh, no.
In your house?
Oh, definitely. Always. Even people that spend time with our family. If it's a nice lunch, be it Christmas or whatever.
You're singing.
At some point, someone is going to start singing and everyone is going to sing.
And there's like 10-part harmonies going
on. That is in fact, Loisa likes to say that growing up, we never knew that there were people who actually couldn't sing.
You just thought, because the whole family can
everyone
sing.
Everyone can sing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. Okay, we understand if maybe you can't have a little bit of a vibrato, but I mean,
they all can sing.
You know.
That's quite a gift for the whole family to be able to do that.
Yeah.
I actually remember I met your mother once at the Artia Coffee.
Okay.
And there was a filming of something, and I remember going, and I just happened to be sitting next to her, and I had a chat to her, and she's just the proudest mother in the world. To bring up these boys.
Yeah.
So who were your influences growing up to sort of push you into this style that you do? I know that you kind of dabble in everything now.
Yeah, well, it's been a it's been all sorts of things. I mean, growing up in the township, there's the church, there's the folk music, there's the different activities that happen in the township, and all of them have their own dances and own song. You know, and the radio, which played all sorts of things from back then, and now getting into music, you know, going to the Drakensberg, then we got introduced to the great masters of music, your Mozarts and Handels. And if you're interested in songwriting and arranging and production, then you listen to the harmonies, how everything is set up. And yeah, and that went on to, you know, just liking vocal bands. And I only started clubbing at the age of 21.
Really?
So I was just studying.
Studying and...
and working these things out and analyzing music.
Yeah.
So it's been all sorts of influences, and also, you know, working with great people like, you know, Huma Sekelas and so on, you know, they also opened me up to a whole new world of other things that are happening, you know. Otherwise, I can say we are deeply rooted in our Africanism and, you know, with the scope of, you know, with the scope that goes far. So
yes,
we can take everything else and apply it into who we are and what we do.
We're going to take a little breather and play. What are we going to hear, Jeffrey? What track is it?
I was told track two.
So what is track two?
It's actually track two. No, I'm joking. it's called Masibuyelane.
Masibuyelane,
yeah. Loiso came... Loiso wrote the first three lines of the song and said... Hey man, I just don't know how to carry on with it. And then I took it and arranged it, and then we just had this.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
We'll be chatting more with Zwai after this. Masibuyelane.
That's right.
CliffCentral.com.
Masibuyelane.
That's right.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
And it means?
It is a love song.
It's a love song. Masebuyalane. Does that sound like I love you?
Yeah.
And what does it mean again?
It just means it's a cry for lost love, really.
Okay.
You know, let's get
It's
back
very
together.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Very beautiful song. The Bala brothers, all three of you doing your thing on that song. Where do you record? Have you got your own studio? You must do.
But, you know, it can be for pre-production or whatever else we do. It depends on what we do. Like, okay, this was a live recording, but otherwise the first album we did at the M1 studios because we had the...
At SABC.
Because we had the big...
Those studios are so scary. I did a session there once and I was on my own and it was at M1 and they put these like little partitions up in that room.
Yeah,
and
it
was like, yo...
Yeah.
I feel so alone right now.
Yeah.
It's a pretty awesome studio, though.
Yeah.
Did you do that with the orchestra and
everything?
Yeah,
with the full Johannesburg Festival Orchestra.
Awesome stuff.
Yeah. Man. We actually put together very quickly because Pelo was on holiday and he was still at the Drakensberg. And we just thought, hey, we have something here. How quickly can we put an album together? So we just got different guys just to do orchestrations and so on. And we're
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Book the studio and do it.
Yeah.
No, you say, I mean, you do produce a lot of your stuff, but you have worked with other producers. Who else have you worked with? Nobody kind of sticks out.
Working all the time.
You're the best producers.
Short of saying that. But I've worked with different people on different stuff. You know, be it albums or just events.
Or collaborations or whatever.
Yeah, or collaborations, yeah.
Did you have, I know Quincy Jones was here. Did you meet Quincy? Did you?
Yes.
Man.
Yes, I've met
I love Quincy.
Yeah.
You haven't worked with him, have you?
No, shame.
Is it on your bucket list?
Shame for him, man. Because I think you'd really enjoy working with me.
I'm going to call, is he still around?
Quincy, no,
he died.
I don't know. You mean died?
No, he's around. Hey,
as around like somewhere.
He's alive.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. I was gonna track him down and hook it up.
I know. He should be like 82 now. I'll give him a badass quieto track.
What's that, Quincy?
That is Quincy. Yes.
This is Quincy. It's called Quincy.
No, it's.
But this is the.
It sounds like Takalani Sesame.
It's Austin Powers, baby. Do I make you horny, baby? Do I? That was very cool. Left to center, but that's very cool. Very cool.
Very nice.
The one Quincy, Back on the Block, Quincy Jones.
Yes.
That's an incredible album, man. Yeah. So tell me, who locally kind of sticks out for you? Who do you listen to a lot of local music? Are you sort of out there?
I'm very African in every way, you know.
Are you?
And I listen to the older folk, even the young ones. I'm always trying to keep in touch and check what's happening. But like I say, that I analyze a lot. So I know that this guy just has a nice voice, but this one is a musician. This one is a great writer.
Okay.
And, you know, this one is... Also, when I have to put events together, I have to think what's going to talk to, you know, to the client and so on.
Mm.
Otherwise, yeah, man, I'm always checking out even West African guys. I've worked with Yosundo and Salif Keita.
Wow.
So like I'm always just checking out stuff, but I'm big on development.
And there's so much young new talent out there as
well. Yeah, and a lot of them that don't make it on Idols or pop stars, you know, even if they're from out of town, I always try and...
You can spot them.
Yeah, and try and... I mean, a lot of them have moved up to Johannesburg and, you know, I put them on shows, backing vocals and...
To give them experience and give them
And
then... In the sort of Bala Brothers fold of the company, is the record label, am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, in record label in the sense that we want to own everything that we do. Otherwise, we really don't have time.
It's so good. It's so good, though. I mean, you have to, with an empire like that,
yeah,
and it being a family, you've got to keep your eye on the ball.
Yeah, because...
On the Bala, so to speak.
Yeah.
Keep your eye on the Bala.
Yeah, absolutely. Because otherwise, it's really not cool doing this one thing, but then they want another song that you've done, but then you have to go and talk to Sony and... The one oak that handles your stuff is not there anymore, and it's like, nah.
So how's it going to work now with the PBS show, Zwa Bala? The Bala brothers going to be performing at the Lyric Theatre on the 24th and 25th. I know they always do two nights when they do live shows, so that they can kind of get the best of In case someone throws undies on the stage or something like that. It happens, right?
Yeah, you must, but I just mustn't lose a tooth or something.
Exactly. That would be a bit of a problem.
Yeah.
So how's that going to work with the PBS thing? Because you said Warner Music is involved in that.
No. They're basically releasing that DVD.
That DVD. And will there be a DVD and CD? Or is it
And CD. And you know, then we basically artists of Warner from now on.
Okay. Yeah. So you sign now?
Yeah, we sign now to Warner.
For 3 years or whatever
years.
I won't ask you about the deal.
Yeah.
Record deals are funny things, man. Things have changed so much.
Oh, Lord.
They haven't they?
Don't go there.
Because gone are the days. I mean, back in the day, you could get a record deal and they would sort of pay for everything and do things for you and take the royalties from that. And these days, they don't really want to do anything.
Yeah.
They want the full package. And
it's a pity. Back in the day, there used to be artist development.
Yes.
You know.
And there isn't really.
And now
they still have that in the record companies, but they call it something different. And
yeah,
they don't really.
But now I think a lot of the artists I'm not from are not fully signed to the big record labels. And the indie guys are not taking care of them.
Yeah.
You know, I know I was talking about one big artist who plays an instrument, and she's not great at the instrument, and she's doing so well. And I was just saying to a friend, you know, it's such a pity. Why don't they just send this girl to go and just really master this instrument?
Yeah.
You know, like as part of, then the more she grows, then, you know, she can be, you know, she
spectacular.
Can be, you know, she can be, she can get better at this instrument, and it would be so nice because she's so popular. One day she can, you know, she can have an unplugged session.
She could be a legend.
You know what I'm saying? Like your Tracy Chapman's, you know, all these other chicks that grab an instrument and play the hell out of it. You know what I mean?
Yes, yeah.
And really just showcase herself as a musician. Because she writes music of that standard. And it can also improve her songwriting anyway.
Sure.
So, yeah. So people, they just
they're not investing.
At the back, man, you know. Mm. And we're missing out on the stuff that stays for ages.
Yeah.
You know?
The obvious stuff, and they're not going to take a chance. So the Bala Brothers company, have you signed other artists under your fold?
Yeah, we do, but it's just not a heck of a lot. There's an artist that we're taking out, Utiti. She actually studied jazz. And
Is she in the gospel choir?
No.
Oh, there's an artist that comes out of the gospel choir.
Which
I don't know what her
Joya
name is.
Joya Soweto Gospel Choir.
Soweto Gospel.
No, she's not from
I thought
she's actually a jazz artist. And her mother and our father used to sing together in the group when they were younger. So,
she's
a jazz artist. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm doing a Jill Scottish vibe, you know, with her. But that is African.
Yeah.
And I'm busy completing an album with a sangoma. Yeah, first ever.
With
done.
A sangoma.
Yeah.
But now tell me, I also read somewhere that Pelo is he's had the calling and he's going. He's going to be a sangoma as well.
Yeah, he's done, actually.
Is he done?
Yeah.
Where did that come from? He's not here, so we can't ask him. You've got to speak on behalf
of him. No, it happens. Unfortunately, you don't choose it. You know, it chooses you.
So did he always know?
Sorry?
Did he always know that
he
wanted
didn't.
To do it? Did it just kind of come to him?
It just happened, and thank God, at least, you know, I was around too. To help, you know?
Yeah.
So because it is quite hectic, and people think it's fashion sometimes, or just like you like things, and no one likes being a sangoma, because you know it's always associated with being dirty, backward. You know, it's like what's this stuff now? You know, like our African cultures are always looked down upon. Once you embrace it, you know, it can be a journey that is. It really opens up new things, even though it's our cultures.
Yes.
But there's a lot that we don't know about our own culture.
So now that it's close to you and your family, there's so much more that you're sort of getting a handle on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I wonder how that is going to change him musically. Is it going to
There's a lot of great music there. I mean, we love music. And I love indigenous music. So I was saying to him the other day, oh, dude, this is so cool. I'm going to get so much material. And what happens at the gatherings and where they play and sing these songs, I've always got a recorder with
me. Oh, and you record it.
And I record. I go into the studio, put a beat behind it. And it actually turns out the BPM and the speeds of it, when I put it in, it's like Eurotrance mixed with like African It's crazy.
That is crazy.
It's crazy.
So it's like something new.
Yeah, something new. In fact, if I can just bring it to you guys one day and you can play it.
You've got to.
So now this Sangoma album is basically that.
Okay.
It's a, you know, I record the live stuff. So I get the raw stuff from there. It's
and all, they don't mind that you that no. you're doing that. Do you have to pay them or?
No. Not at all. I mean, these are folk songs. These are songs that they sing. Songs they sing all the time. And I think I've probably got a role to play in exposing and showing the world, you know, what we are and how we are and just how wonderful it is and introduce new things, you know.
Maybe you could call it Singoma.
Yeah, or S.
Sing
or,
like.
Yeah, or SA, which is South Africa, and Ngoma means song.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. SA Ngoma.
Yeah.
Singoma.
You must check like Singoma.
Singoma. I don't know why when I speak.
Or sang.
When I say the Zulu words or whatever,
but
I always try and sound sexy. I don't know where that comes from.
Masibuyalane.
Where does it come from? I do not know. I do not know at all.
Nkomkabelo.
What is that? What did I just say?
Saturday.
You could be saying... Saturday never sounded so good. Nkomkabelo.
Yeah,
Nkomkabelo. Oh dear, that's brilliant. So Zwai, this show's coming up in October. I know you guys are super busy with corporates and that kind of thing.
Well, in fact, preparing for it. We're not taking it lightly. It's the biggest thing that's happening to us and our journey. And we want to grab it with both hands. So we're just preparing. We're rehearsing every day and doing vocal exercises and coaching and checking out the material and, you know.
Yeah.
And also the business side of things. So we really, really... could do with the support of South Africans. This is the first African act.
I think you're going to pretty much like sell out very soon, though.
Well,
so
I'd really, really, that would be really cool if we could.
No, you will. Well, you have to. But I really think you will. It's 24th and 25th of October.
Yes.
And the tickets are reasonable, $250 to $350, I suppose. $250 is upstairs, $350 is downstairs.
Yeah.
And it's
like
at 8 o'clock. You can get them at CompuTicket if you want to get more information. There is also some more info on the Bala Brothers and the concert on showbizinfullhd.co.za. But get down there and support them. This is incredible. And you could be seen, because I'm sure they'll do audience shots as well. People dig that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
If they can be seen on TV in America.
All of America.
The whole of America.
Yeah, and on the DVD, of course.
I'm telling you, for all eternity.
I mean, we shot the live at Emperor's Palace, and I was thinking to myself, why don't they just show that? But their standards are just so different.
Okay, they've got to do it their way.
Yeah, and shooting for PBS is different. Yeah. There's a lot of close-ups.
How many cameras have they discussed with you? Nine!
Yeah.
My goodness. And you've got a live orchestra with you?
Yeah. All right. So I'm busy trying to...
You're doing that and
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
You know.
Well, get your tickets, and I think you will be disappointed. It sounds like a cool thing to get to. And go and check out the Bala Brothers, Luiso, Zwai, and Pelo.
That's right.
Doing their thing, and it's going to be recorded for PBS and for the DVD. And that's incredible.
Yes, and I think a lot of people have always said, we've never seen Bala Brothers. I think this is a chance.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure people have kind of seen you guys on TV, but seeing you live is something completely different. So that's that. But what else is planned apart from, I mean, you're really working towards this.
Yeah, it's this.
It's this.
Yeah.
It's important. Hey, it really is a big thing.
Yeah, and work. It's huge.
It's huge.
Yeah, it's huge.
So maybe an American tour will come out of this as well.
Yep. Depending on how much support it gets.
Yes, for sure. So. But you guys work so hard. I always think it is a lifestyle. What you do is a lifestyle.
Yeah.
And
I tried everything else. I tried.
It's the passion, though. That's what it is. You're born with it.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do. But you're a good businessman too, and that helps. Zwai, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on Cliff Central this morning. Thank you so much for joining us.
Nice to be here.
Masibuyalane. Are we going to play one more? Or we don't know. But anyway, I'm Helen Dubois. Thank you so much for hanging out with me this morning. What a cool show it's been with Zwai Bala. And don't forget, go and get your tickets. You can book a CompuTicket for that show, 24th and 25th of October. In Johannesburg. Sorry for the people who aren't in Josie. I'm sure the Bala Brothers will come to a stadium near you soon, or a theater.
Yeah. Get to CompuTicket now.
Go to CompuTicket. That's why.
Get to CompuTicket. Tell them why. Between 250 Rand and 300 Rand, 350 Rand, it's available. The tickets are available.
Yep.
Yeah.
And 8 o'clock is the show, and you can go and check them out, and then it's going to America, and so are they. Don't leave us, though.
No, no, no. We'll nerve.
The Bala brothers are...
We will nerve.
Yeah.
Nerve.
So there you have it. Thanks so much for hanging out with me, Helen Dubois. I'll see you soon. Stay tuned because Leanne Moll is up next with Heavy Petting. Thanks, Jeffrey.
Pleasure.
Love your work.
Thank you.